Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, the listeners of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. Thank you so much for being the loyal listener of this podcast. It's been a while since my latest episode. Apologize, I've been very busy. I was part of the ASEAN Business Advisory Council, and it's been a terrific year for us, for Indonesia specifically, because we are chairing ASEAN or Southeast Asian Association, and then it's been a very interesting journey for us. But for Indonesia, next year is also a very interesting time. February 14, 2024, it's going to be our general election. So we are going to choose a new leadership, a new president and vice president for this country. As you know, if you are aware about Indonesia's politics, President Jokowi will not be running for another term because the constitution limits him his term with only 2 times. So we're going to have a new leader by next year. As the time goes by, we now have 3 different candidates of president and vice president, which last week was the time where they have submitted the application to the election committee. So this episode is going to discuss about the vision and mission of one of the 3 candidates we're going to be running for the power of Indonesia's presidency. And this episode will not be edited. It's very organic, and apologize if I make any mistake. Because this is the Foreign Policy Talks podcast, so I will not touch other issues. So I will be mainly covering international relations or foreign affairs. And 3 different candidates have come up with the vision and mission document, and it has been shared publicly across Indonesia, or it's also can be accessed by many of our friends worldwide. Now let's start with the candidate that has been very popular since a decade ago, because the president himself was also part of the election in 2014 and 2019 as the presidential candidate. Before, he was also a vice presidential candidate in a different time. But anyways, his name is Prabowo Subianto, as you know. He is one of the most popular politician in the country. He's known as a strong man. So many of my colleagues, my friends, have been following his political career. I think he's been entitled to this, image as a very strong man. This time, he's running with a newcomer, or someone that's just entered politics, and he's just elected as mayor, if I'm not wrong, was about 2 years ago, in the city of Solo, which also the city where President Jokowi came from. And so Prabowo and Gibran, that's the name of the vice presidential candidate. I will not touch on how the VP can eventually be part of this election contests, because it was a big story that I might not be able to share in just about 10 or 15 minutes, because it's a very long story. But anyways, there's been a very big issue in the country now, when we talk about the VP candidate for Prabowo, which it relates with our democracy regression. But let me dig deeper on the vision and mission document, which, if you see the title, you can clearly see how they want to continue the policy implementation by President Jokowi. And it was not really touch a lot of changes that is required for Indonesia in terms of the policy focus or policy priority agenda. So many of other aspects than foreign affairs, like economy, social, culture, I think it was pretty much the same. I think he really wants to bring Jokowi supporters to his camp or to their camp. But if you see carefully also the name of the proposition that I'd like to introduce to the people of Indonesia, they also want to bring the country to be an advanced state or to be a developed state, right? They underline and acknowledge Indonesia's progress, economic progress, political progress under President Jokowi Dodo's time, and they want to continue that again. Now, if we touch on the foreign affairs, in the preamble, they underline and acknowledge some strategic external challenges before shaping the policy priorities. So they mentioned the Ukraine and Palestinian conflict, I mean, Ukraine-Russia war and Palestinian or Hamas-Israel conflict. They also underline the potential arms conflict in North Natuna Sea, which is related with China for sure. They also acknowledge the global economic slowdown. And these issues are put at the top before many other issues like overpopulation, AI disruption, climate change, and so on and so on and so on and so forth. So many of these issues are really how to say associated with foreign affairs or geopolitics or geoeconomic landscape today. And when they mention about moving towards a developed Indonesia, an Indonesia that is a developed state, they also put the direction towards Indonesia 2045. So for those who are not aware about this number or this year, so 2045 is going to be the year when Indonesia will reach the 100 years of independence. So they put this Indonesia a mass or the golden year of Indonesia 2045 as the vision that they want to reach. And they have 8 different mission, 17 priority programs, and 8 of the quick wins programs or projects that they would like to introduce in that vision and mission document. One of the priority programs that they have under this document is to strengthen Indonesia's defense and security and maintain a conducive international relationships. So let me repeat. So one of the Prabowo-Gibran priority programs is to strengthen Indonesia's defense and security and maintain a conducive international relationships. So, you know that Prabowo is known as a military man. He was a general, and of course, his knowledge and understanding about this issue is very high, according to many people that I know. And to put Indonesia's defense and security before writing down international relationship is also one of the interesting thing that we can see clearly from this variety programs. In the elaboration, they said Indonesia should be a powerful state. So by being powerful, you will get or create anything you want as a state and be highly respected at the international stage. That's the literal translation that I got from this document. So it's very interesting indeed to explore what do they define as a powerful state, right? So Indonesia should be a powerful state. The question is, what are the indicators that can present Indonesia as a powerful state? Is it by having more military aircrafts? Is it by having more defense budget? After carefully reading more pages of this document, actually I found some interesting points to answer the question that I just raised before. So according to this candidate, so a powerful state is when Indonesia has a well-managed defense and security system that can protect the nation and ensure peace in our own territory. So that's very probable, right? And another strong keyword that you can repeatedly see or view from this document, which is self-reliant. So they really put the urgency for Indonesia to be a self-reliant nation in multiple domains, right? Whether we talk about energy, they talk about food, they talk about water, security, water supply. And interestingly, they also added state sovereignty on creative economy. So I'm not sure whether they want Indonesians to be also self-reliant in terms of developing our own culture and to be able to not intervene or disrupted by the global creative industries or and a different say is it really to protect us from any foreign culture like K-pop or American culture, Japanese culture? I'm not sure about that. So we really need to ask them next time. And you know, these keywords, self-reliance, also a powerful state, actually is not a new term. It's been known as a narrative that probably has been introduced for many times since the election in 2014 and 2019. That's how he's trying to bring his how to say strong leadership to this narrative by trying to put the external factors as one of the key challenges to Indonesia's development. So international threats and any other geopolitical or geoeconomic challenges that might be limiting our future growth. For your information, if you also open more pages of this document, there's no specific section on international affairs or relationships. So all related programs on foreign affairs are put under the umbrella of defense and security system. So that's one of the things that actually worth to explore because it's not common. Usually, there's a distinction between international affairs and also defense and security system because the programs or the focus on the defense and security system is usually very specific. They also have different terms. They are very hard security terminology that might not be fit to programs or solutions that relate to diplomacy, that relate to social culture. So it's very it's a bit uncommon, I must say. Right, and even under this umbrella of defense and security system, they have 18 missions or 18 unique missions, and only 8 out of 18 missions under this topic are closely related to diplomacy and international affairs. The rest of them, they talk about war, they talk about conflicts, terrorism, essential force, the military, arms, and yeah. So the majority of the missions are actually covering about defense security system. Is it meaning something that we can get from the focus of this candidate? I think you have your own rights to conclude that way. So another point that I'd like to share is that two of the missions on their proposed foreign policy vision is very interesting to explore further. One is that to return Indonesia's international political influence as a great and sovereign country. So they use a term or word return. So assuming that maybe from their point of views that Indonesia's position or influence at the global level are not as great as they should be, or we are not that sovereign to decide our diplomacy or diplomatic influence, I'm not sure. And the word return also can present a question on into which era that they're referring to. Are we aiming to go back to SBY's time or President SBY's time, or is it Sukarno's time or Suharto's times? It's a big question, right? So that's maybe just a very simple and logical question that we may raise after reading this line. Another line that is interesting is to I mean they have what they write as to implement smart diplomacy strategy in ensuring Indonesia's needs, I mean, or Indonesia's interests and also unity. The question here is that there is no further elaboration on what do they mean as smart diplomacy. So it's not that clear, to be honest. And if we Google or if we look into a general definition of smart diplomacy that you can find easily everywhere, is by choosing rational foreign policy directions. So is it what they really refer to as a smart diplomacy? I think we really need that answer to that question. Some other points, they also touch on the importance to promote our culture globally. Indonesia has a diverse and very rich culture that is potentially promoted to many countries worldwide. And in a different section of this document, they also put a line where Indonesia needs to speed up the maritime border agreements negotiation with at least 10 neighboring states. So those are my humble observation of their vision and mission document. Other issues, I think, very general. They talk about economy, politics, law reforms, corruption, culture, human resources, digital economy, right? Those things. But again, although in some parts or in some ways, it's also related to our engagement with foreign partners, but it's not very specifically talk about on how we can manage our international relationships under those sections. So it's a very short review. And hopefully it can summarize some of the critical points that they mention in the document that we m may need to follow up maybe through the debate or after the debate, or if we look into speeches or their speeches after this. But hopefully this episode can give you some highlight on what's going on with the election in Indonesia. And of course, as a foreign policy enthusiast, we still need to be carefully observing what they have in their minds about our engagement with many countries. We are a very strategic country, and I think for Indonesia, our foreign policy cannot be just taken for granted. We really need a very systematic thinking or strategic thinking about our foreign policy, and we hope it can be well written in a document of the three candidates of our president and vice president in 2024 for the next term. Right. So that's the first episode of the special election time. And I will come back with the review or summary of the next candidate. See you.